All right. Let's get back into our study this evening. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. So we're talking about the good life. How many of you want to enjoy the good life? A defined good life? Well, that's what we're doing. We're looking at this biblically. We're talking about those that want to love life and seek good days. If you're going to do that, then first of all, you have to have some things as a prerequisite. Number one, we talked about last week, you got to have the right attitude. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Peter says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, and a humble mind. We talked about this last week, just as a quick recap. Unity of mind is not to be in conflict either with each other or those that are not in the faith. We have to have some type of common ground. We have to be unified. Sympathy. Simply put, we're to be ready to share in the sufferings of others, even outside of the church. Three, brotherly love. We love people in an unselfish way, which allows us to serve them. Four, kind-hearted means compassionate, tender-hearted, especially towards sinners. That's what Jesus was. He was very tender-hearted towards sinners. Humble mind, humility of mind, consider others better than yourself. When's the last time we did that? Most of the time we consider ourselves better than everybody. And so you want to love life, see good days, you have to have the right attitude. That is where it starts. That is a prerequisite. Verse 10, whoever desires to love life and see good days. Well, we all want to love life. We all want to enjoy life. We all want to have all this stuff. But once you've checked your attitude at the door and you have a desire, well, you have to have a desire. A lot of people don't have a desire, and that's okay. You don't want to love life and see good days, then you're probably going to be miserable. And there's a lot of miserable people out there because they don't have a desire to see anything good. Matter of fact, listen to what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 4. So here's a man that had everything. And boy, he took the entire book of Ecclesiastes to do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, had everything he wanted, and he said it was miserable. He says in chapter 4, verse 2 and 4, I thought the dead who are already dead more fortunate than the living who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not been and has not seen the evil deeds that are done under the sun. He congratulated the dead because they were better off than the living. He's like, wow, you guys ain't got to live in this world. You guys are gone. You got it better than we have it. And the people that have never been born, that have never participated in anything that Solomon says in this useless life, you're even better than them. That's pretty depressing, isn't it? The people that are dead are better than we are, and the ones that haven't been born yet, that have never experienced any of this suffering in this life, they're better than all three of us. It's like, that's not real good. But for those who do want to see, have a desire to see some good days, what is good made of? What is good made of? Peter writes to believers who were, for the most part, poor. They were definitely persecuted. They were rejected. They were tempted. They were under trials, and they were living in danger. And life was kind of difficult for them. And so now that you've got your attitude in check and you want to see good days, the next thing that we do is a right response. You have to have a right response, and this is found in verse 9. Look there at verse 9. He says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. The attitude has to happen first, and you'll never be able to respond appropriately if you don't have the right attitude. But simple principle, Peter just says, don't retaliate. Why do we not retaliate? What does it say? That's good. Hang on to that. We'll talk about that in a minute. So Matthew chapter 5, 38 through 42, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." What does that mean? That goes back to the Old Testament. What is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Okay, the punishment fits the crime. Excellent. Somebody kills one of your cattle, you kill one of theirs, or you take one of theirs. Somebody puts out your eye, you put out their eye. So Jesus goes back to the Old Testament and says, this is what it said. But he says, I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. If somebody slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Oops. Verse 43 through 45. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. The issue is this. If you want to represent God's kingdom and you want to represent God, then you got to act like God. That's what Jesus says. This is what I want you to do. And so in verse 48, he said, therefore, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You have to grow and mature so that you look more like Jesus. Isn't that the whole purpose of a Christian? Isn't that why all these trials and things come about? So that we look more like Jesus? So the Apostle Paul, who was taught, how was the Apostle Paul taught? He was taught by who? The other disciples? Jesus. Jesus taught him. Where's that found? I know it's found in the Bible. Actually, it's found in Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. So, you got to read it. It's in there. So in Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, I did not receive the gospel by anybody, nor did I receive it from man, but I received it by a direct revelation from Jesus Christ. And so when he got saved, he went out for a few years and was taught by Jesus all of this information. And so he builds on the same thing that Jesus was talking about, and he comes back in Romans 12, verse 14, and says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Bless and do not curse them. Verse 17, repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to another and to everyone. So we're supposed to do that to everybody. Do not retaliate. Very simple. It's direct, it's basic, it's biblical, and it'll cause you to be able to love life and to see good days. Now, Peter goes from action, do not retaliate evil for evil. Like Jeff said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You ever seen those people that as soon as you do something to them, they want to do something back to you? They're miserable. And the people that you give some evil to or you speak evil about, they give it right back to you. You know those people? That's what we're doing. They don't want to love life. They don't want to see good days. And so if somebody does that, God says don't retaliate. Don't give it back. Don't render evil for evil. But in verse 9, in 1 Peter, he says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. What does the King James say? Who's got the King James open? I know you all got the King James. Huh? Railing. Okay, railing, reviling. Anybody got a different translation? What does a railing or a reviling mean? Insult. Insult for insult. I think the NASB says insult. But do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult. What do we talk about on Sunday? What are we not doing? We're going to give. We're going to step out and give, and we're going to invite people. And what's the third thing that we added Sunday? What are we not going to do? That's right. If you ain't got nothing nice to say about somebody, don't say nothing at all. And that's the whole point. We should never speak evil of anyone. But we do, don't we? We do. Come on, hang your head in shame. All right, that's long enough. We do. We speak evil of people. We gotta get this biblical mind. If you want to see good days and love life, you've got to do something different here. And so you can't retaliate, and you can't give an insult for somebody who insults you. You know how important it is not to insult somebody? You know what the Bible says about people who insult other people? Very serious, biblical example, church discipline. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 5:11. This is the NASB, and I've used the all caps for my emphasis. He says, I'm writing to you not to associate with anybody who bears the name of a brother. What does that mean? We're talking about people who are Christians, right? Believers. He says, anybody who bears the name of a brother, anybody who says they're a believer. Okay, here we go. If he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or idolatry, or he is verbally abusive. And that word verbally abusive is the same word here in 1 Peter that he uses for reviling or railing or any of those, exact same word. Anybody who is verbally abusive, a drunkard or a swindler, not to even eat with such a person. Do you know how serious that is for people that put other people down? It says don't even eat with them. Don't hang around them. Don't associate with them. Don't eat with them. The same as those who are sexually immoral, greedy, idolaters, drunkards. Don't hang around them. Yeah, yeah, half you people are not going to hang around with each other, are you? We'll pray for you, Zelma. Christians who are verbally abusive, that they have just verbal abusive mouths, people that have vengeful tongues, stay away from them. You don't want to associate with them. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 10, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, nor those habitually drunk, nor verbal abusers. Same word again. Exact same word. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. What separates somebody who does that and believers? How do you know the difference? Do believers get drunk? Oh, yeah. Many of them do. Sure do. Didn't people get drunk in the Bible? Weren't they believers? I would say some of those were. Weren't some of them sexually immoral? Weren't some of them very verbally abusive? So what separates them from the believer? Oh, that's a good one, forgiveness. First, forgiveness from Jesus. And second, the quick to forgive other people. But third, people that don't retaliate because they know their own sinfulness. Right? I mean, we forget how sinful we truly are. What is a Christian capable of in the worst way? Anything, right? Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're picture perfect. You're capable of doing anything. You got to be careful about that.
What if you had got saved and you got away from the faith? Can you still inherit the kingdom of God?
You inherit the kingdom of God by placing your faith and trust what Christ did on the cross of Calvary and his shed blood alone. Okay. When you make that commitment, that is yours forever. Nothing can take it away. Now, you may backslide, you may turn, but we don't know what's going on the inside of someone. The Holy Spirit may be tearing somebody apart because of their sin, the conviction, whatever. They may be trying to run. They may be trying to get drunk to numb the convicting power of the Holy Spirit because it's overwhelming them. We don't know what's going on the inside. And so that's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourself, examine yourself, try yourself. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you unless you're disqualified? You're constantly to examine yourself. Did you make, did you say a prayer or did you make a commitment to Christ? Did you just go up there with everybody else because they went up there and they said a prayer? Or did you truly want to make a commitment to Him for what He's done for you? That's the issue. It's individual. So, what Peter's trying to say is don't worry about what happens to other people. And I think about this, and I hate to bring this up, and I apologize. I don't apologize. I'm sorry, not sorry. How's that? But I think about the debate. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's all they did is go back and forth and ridicule each other. And I'm like, you know what? That's not what we want to be known for. We don't want to be known for any of that stuff. I didn't watch it actually. I saw some clips of it and highlights of different things, but I wasn't gonna sit there and watch that. But here's the issue. You sit there and think, and we do this in our own head because we're still fleshly. We still have a fleshly mind in there. But we think in there, well, what about all these people that have abortions and all this? We need to get rid of this, and we need to do something about it. And what do? We think of ways that we can retaliate, right? The Bible says don't retaliate.
That usually makes matters worse.
What's that?
What do you mean you want to retaliate?
Get even. In a lot of cases, when somebody like Denny was talking about, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So if somebody stabs you, then you want to stab them. What do we do with murderers? They murder a bunch of people. They ought to be put to death, right? And I'm for capital punishment because that's biblical. That's God created government, man to rule over man. But the idea is that we should never want to retaliate to somebody else, nor verbally bash them. And this is what Jeff was talking about in Romans 12. Romans 12. Sorry. Did you check the batteries on this day? Oh, no, there we go. Okay, here we go. My bad. Just had to move them around a little bit. Oh, there we go. Okay. Romans 12, 19 through 21. Never take your own revenge, beloved, speaking to believers, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, what are you supposed to do? Feed him. If he is thirsty, what are you supposed to do? Give him something to drink. For in so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. That's good. That's what we're supposed to do. Do not retaliate. Don't try to get even. Don't verbally insult somebody. Remember what James says? Don't we do that? Oh, my goodness. We do that all the time. Isn't God good? God is so good, isn't he? Oh, bless God. He's so good. Then you think about people like Adolf Hitler. You go, oh, that miserable creep. The pits of hell ain't going to be hot enough for that piece of garbage. But this is where you got to be careful. And this is where we have to think and we have to let the Word of God change us. How does God look at Hitler? Huh? I know. But don't get the retaliation attitude like, I won't get him, Lord, but you get him. Just turn up hell a little hotter for him. You get him, Lord. What I'm trying to say is if Christ had concern for sinners, should we not too? Okay, James says this. Pay attention. James says in 9-10, we bless. He's talking about the tongue. And he's like, the tongue is an unruly evil. Can't control that, baby. With one breath, we bless God. Oh, God is so good, isn't he? And with the same tongue, we curse people who are made in the image of God. That's what I was trying to pull out. Is Adolf Hitler not made in the image of God?
Yeah, he's already dead. He already did all
the damage. Well, that's true. There's a lot of people still alive today that there's some thoughts that might pop in there. But remember, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. from blessing and cursing. Don't curse nobody. These things ought not be. We shouldn't be doing this stuff. We got to think biblically. We got to remember what God has done. God has created people in His image. We are image bearers. That's our job, to encourage people to see what they are. You're an image bearer of God. All right, back to verse 9. Do not repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate. Do not give an insult for an insult, but on the contrary, bless. For this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Now, what does the word bless mean?
Happy?
Do good deeds or have good thoughts? What does the word bless mean? From God? Okay. Sometimes you say, what is a blessing? And they're like, oh, that's just getting lots of money. Is it a monetary gift from God? What is a blessing? What does it mean to bless? A blessing is what you're still able to do when you get elderly. Well, Jesus will come back before I get elderly, so praise God for that. I hope.
Praise, devotion, worship, especially grace said before a meal.
That's cheating. You're not allowed to do that. Put your phone away.
To offer a holy seal of approval.
To offer a seal of approval. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul uses the same word Peter does, and that's why he used this one. In Ephesians 1:3, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. All three words are the same, and it's the exact same word that Peter uses. Now, in the Greek, that word is eulogetos or eulogeo, and it's where we get our English word eulogy from. What is a eulogy? Where do we use eulogies at?
Funerals.
Okay, we would call it like an obituary, I guess. Well, maybe not an obituary. That's the announcement of someone's passing. But the obituary has a eulogy in it. What happens in the eulogy?
To talk about them
in what way?
In
a good way. What do? You praise their life, you praise their accomplishments, you praise what they've done, you praise them from the little dash. That's the little dash right there, the start date and the end date. And that eulogy is that little dash of everything they've done in between. Sometimes it's a big eulogy, sometimes it's great. I'm hoping I go before Tom Craft, because we ain't gonna have enough room for all the people come into this auditorium with that guy. That guy knows so many people, and he's helped out so many people. I'd be like, Lord, bring somebody else in here for that man's funeral. But it reminded me of a joke. The pastor wanted two twin brothers were thieves, and they stole from everybody in their town, and everybody knew it, and they hated him. And the one brother passed away, and so the other brother went to the pastor, and he said, I want you to speak well of my brother. And he said, no, I don't think I can. And he's like, look, I'll give you $1,000 just to say, all I want you to do is say that he was a saint. And so the pastor thought a minute, and he said, okay. So he took the guy's money, and at the funeral, he was preaching, you know, Jesus and salvation. And then he come to his brother's life, and talked about what a dirty, rotten, nasty, miserable creep that guy was, and his brother, who was still alive, stood up, and he was getting ready to say something, and then at the very end, the pastor said, but compared to his brother, he was a saint. And so, but that's, but this is the idea. It means to bless. It means to praise. It means to man, there's so much that word means. Let's get into it. So if you're going to have the right attitude, you want to love life and see good days, you can't retaliate, you can't speak evil of people, but you have to bless them. You have to talk good about them. There's something good about somebody to say. You know, can you say anything good about Adolf Hitler? I know he's dead, Charlotte. Can you? I didn't know him as a father. Well, yeah. He died long before I was born.
I talked to a man who thinks his grandmother is German. And she thinks, she still says that was their salvation. He gave them jobs. He gave them, when he started, he brought Germany up.
He sure did. And what I would say is that him being created in the image of God, he had a very, very strong mind. He knew how to do, I mean, in a bad way, but he reflected the image of God because he'd done things with a thought-out plan. He knew how to get to the masses by going through the children. He knew how to get to people by using children. He knew how to brainwash kids. He knew how to fund his war. That's the thing I love. I love the VW Beetle, the little herpy, little Herbie, the love bug. Do you know where those come from? I think he kidnapped, was it Porsche or was it Ferrari? I forget the name, the guy's name. Was it Porsche? So Hitler kidnapped Porsche and forced him to do this VW Beetle. And what he did is this. Because Hitler knew that people were not faithful. They were not good with money. So what he said is, we'll give you a book, and you make all these payments for 4 years, whatever. Never miss a payment. If you miss a payment, then you lose all your money. But you're not going to do that. So when you not miss a payment after 4 years, you have a brand new car. Here you go. And people couldn't do it, and they missed their payments. And so they lost all the money that they had already put in. That's how he funded his war. Well, one of the ways. This is a great story. Go in and look at that. He knew exactly how people's minds work. He knew exactly how people worked. Man, that man was smart in a bad way. But yes, you can still look at that man and say, now, I think Porsche got arrested. They put him as a war criminal till they figured out that he was doing all that stuff under force. Hitler forced him to do it. He wasn't doing it willingly. But okay, so when we talk about blessing, what do we do to bless? Let's get into that. How do we bless? Number one, unconditional love. How do you bless somebody? Unconditional love. To bless somebody would be to love them unconditionally. You seek a means of how you can serve them. You want to turn an enemy into a friend. How's that? You want to turn an enemy into a friend. You try unconditional love to do whatever you can, find a way to serve them. Turn an enemy into a friend. That's good. Number two, pray for their salvation. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus said, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Why are you praying for someone who persecutes you? Because if they knew the love of Jesus that you have, they wouldn't be doing that, would they? Would you persecute somebody in the church for, I mean, yeah, you probably would, because you don't want to love life and see good days. You don't have a right attitude, and so you're just going to render insult for insult. But here's the idea. We need to pray for their salvation. I looked on there and I said, I'm praying for both sides. I pray for Trump's salvation. I pray for Kamala's salvation. I pray for their salvation because that's the only thing that's going to turn our country around. And if this is the end and Christ is coming back soon, oh, well, bring it on. Bring it on. It doesn't matter. So we need to show unconditional love. Second, we need to pray for their salvation. Third, we need to be thankful. Be thankful. The term bless, when we talk frequently in the scriptures, means to thank. Remember when Jesus had the five loaves and the the five fish and the two loaves, or the two fish and the five loaves? Which was it? Five and two. It was five and two, right? I had the two numbers right. I just forget which one it is. But anyway, said when he had blessed, he broke the bread. and then distributed the fish in the bread. A blessing is used in a thankfulness, to be thankful. And so we give thanks to God. That's a bless, right? Because we say this, bow your heads, we're going to do the what? The blessing. But that's the whole point. Why is it a blessing? We're thanking God. That's the whole idea. It's a blessing. And so to be thankful. Being thankful. You can always, when people insult you, just give them, kill them with kindness. You ever heard that?
Yep.
Kill them with kindness.
I worked at Circle K over here, and that's what they told me, because there was a lot of people that I didn't like, but they just said, kill them with kindness.
Kill them with kindness. Hey, thanks for bringing that to my attention. I appreciate that. I'll look into that. Maybe. Give them a blessing. Bless them. Move on. You will. You'll kill them with kindness. And number four, and this is where we come to the eulogy part of it, speak well of them. Speak well of them. Why do we want to speak ill of people that speak ill of us? We need to let it go. Speak well of them. You can bless a person by speaking well. In Luke chapter 1, verse 42, when Mary came to see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was pregnant, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women," Elizabeth was talking to Mary, "and blessed is the fruit of your womb." That same word, eulogy. She's like, "You're blessed, man. You're just blessed. You're blessed." She praised her. She spoke very well of her. And then verse 44, it says, "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." When you speak well of people, man, it brings joy to their heart. It brings joy. When someone who is evil and unkind and they begin to insult you, speak well to them. Find a way to speak highly of them. Return some type of praise for their pain. That's hard to do, isn't it? Something for you to think about. You want to love life and see good days in your old age or young age, pending. Methuselah was 969. We're all young pups compared to him, and that's what I'm comparing myself to. I hope we're not going to be living that long, not anymore. Number five, seek and desire their well-being. Again, Luke is a beautiful illustration for this aspect. Luke 6:28, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. We want to look out for their well-being. If you're going to pray for their salvation, they're not going to come to Christ if you do evil to them, will they? You have to show them something different than what they see. They're of their father, the devil, who is a backstabber, a liar, a murderer from the beginning. And so you have to show them something different. All they see is people rendering evil for evil and insult for insult. They have to see something different. And that's how you love life. That's how you see good days. You have to respond in a way that's going to be pleasing to the Lord. Same kind of idea, praying for their salvation. It's extended a little bit when you come to Matthew 25. This is the parable, actually Jesus' second coming, when he separates the sheep and the goats. And he said, "The king will say to those on the right hand, 'Come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom.'" Here you go. You got all the blessings. Here's the kingdom. Here's your well-being. Let's go into the kingdom. And so blessing is seeking their well-being. So if you want to bless something, if you want to bless someone when they insult you, love them unconditionally. That's what God does. Doesn't God allow the rain to fall on the just as well as the unjust? Doesn't he allow the sun to fall on the just as well as... Doesn't God give good stuff to people who are evil? He loves them unconditionally. They're created in his image, and he's trying to bring them back. So should we. Love them unconditionally. Number two, pray for their salvation. If they are saved, Pray for their spiritual growth. Let them come back to where they need to be, because they're not looking like Jesus. Amen? Pray for their spiritual growth or salvation. Be thankful for them. God has put them in your path to make you look more like Jesus. You have something there to be thankful for them about. Doesn't matter. Be thankful. Number four, speak well of them. And number five, seek and desire their well-being. Back to 1 Peter. He says, do not repay evil for evil, or insult for insult, or reviling, or railing for railing, but on the contrary, we want to bless them. For this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. What does that mean? We were called to this so that we can obtain a blessing. Well, we were called for the same purpose, to obtain a blessing. I think the King James says inherit. It says you are called for this, to inherit a blessing. This word is obtain. In this context, it means to receive something that you couldn't earn. To receive something that you could not earn. You have everything that the kingdom has. And that's what Ephesians 1 verse 3 is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Eulogetos, eulogetos, eulogetos. Three times we are blessed because God has given us everything in the kingdom. How did we get it? By the blood of Jesus. How do we inherit it? Because God adopted us. How do we receive it? Because we were born again. How did we get it? Because he freely gave it to us as a gift. It's all of him. And so when we think about this, we were called to receive a blessing that we could not earn ourselves. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with him. And so we want to bring as many people into that blessing as we can. That's why we need to think about that. Don't render evil for evil. Don't retaliate. Don't give insult back to insult. Love them. Bless them. Because you have been blessed with something you cannot earn. And Matthew 18. Remember, Jesus talks about church discipline. Matthew 18, if you offends you, you go to them one-on-one, right? You need to reconcile. And then if they don't hear you and you're not reconciled, then you bring two or three witnesses so you can establish the truth of the matter. And then if they don't hear the two or three witnesses, then you bring them before the church if it's a serious enough offense. And if they don't hear the church, man, Matthew 18, Peter says, well, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? And what did Jesus say? 70 times 7. How much is that? $490. It's actually the same thing as like saying, I've told you 1,000 times. It's a number. It's not meant to be taken literally, because you don't sit there and count how many times. Because how many times are you going to be able to count how many times you forgave something? By the time you get to a certain number, you've forgotten how many times. Now, some people, they'll have a ledger. They'll be writing it down. But the whole point is, by the time you've gotten to a certain number, you've forgotten how many times you've forgiven them. And he says, 70 times 7, just keep forgiving them. Keep forgiving them. Keep forgiving them. Blah, 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 blah. The idea is that you got to have the right attitude. And with the right attitude, you can have a right action. But you have to be quick to forgive. This is the whole part about it. You're not going to retaliate. You're not going to give an insult back. You have to be quick to forgive. That's what all that blessing is all wrapped up in. We have been forgiven by everything, right? Ephesians 4:32, Paul says, be tenderhearted, be kind, tenderhearted toward one another, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you.
Does that also mean not to hold a grudge against
somebody? Sure, absolutely. That's where a root of bitterness, resentment, and hatred filters up in your heart. If you want to love life and see good days, don't do that. You're going to be a bitter old person, resentful for everything that everybody's done. Man, talk about people. That's what forgiveness does. It releases you. Now you can have good days. Now you can love life. because you're released from all that. But we don't want to harbor that. We don't want to hold that stuff in. We want to give it and move on. If it's a believer, we should be quick to forgive and to move on. If it's an unbeliever, same thing. We forgive quickly because their family may be going to jail, and in that jail, they're going to pay for everything that they've done. And spiritually speaking, that's going to be the lake of fire. We gotta be quick to think about who we're talking to. Sinners only know how to do what? Do they love Jesus? Okay, well then you need to show them the love of Jesus to forgive them. Because something that we don't deserve, which is heaven and eternal life, the blessing that we couldn't earn, if we all got what we deserved, we would all be where? Absolutely. And Jesus' blood is good enough to save those that are gone there as well. And so we need to show them something different. We need to be quick to forgive the unsaved as well. And we want to show them the same grace that we have been freely given. Display that love and mercy, that grace of God that he has given us. That's how we show Christ to the lost. And that's how we don't want to get bitter, resentful, retaliate, get even. We want to give them a blessing. You want to see good days? You got to have the right attitude and then have the right action. What happens is that we build up bitterness, resentment, all kinds of stuff fester in our hearts because we hang on to all this stuff. We hang on to wanting to get even with other people. Isn't that how we see that? We see things happen and we go, oh man, that guy's better get his just deserves. And if he doesn't get what he deserves, guess what? We try to make him get his just deserves. If somebody insults somebody else, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to associate with that person. Well, you shouldn't if they're habitual. But here's the idea. If they've repented and forgiven of that, don't harbor any hatred toward them. People say stuff all the time. You know who the ones that really drive me nuts? Are the people nothing bothers them. Those are the ones that really love life and see good days. Because you can do evil to them, and they don't care. You can speak evil of them, and they don't care. You can they drive you nuts. You miserable creep. God bless you. Oh, God loves you. Shut up. They do, and you get killed with their kindness. Because they don't care about the small stuff. And that's what God's saying. This is small stuff. This is small stuff. They render evil to you, you give them a blessing. They insult you, you give them a blessing. Why? Because it'll tear you up. Why do we have more bad days than we have good? It's because we want to retaliate and we want to insult back. And it builds up resentment, bitterness, and hatred and festering in our heart. And God has not given us a spirit of fear or of hatred or bitterness, but of love and of a sound mind. You want to live life and see good days? Follow what God tells us to do. Otherwise, guess what? You're going to be miserable. There's a lot of miserable people out there.